Okay, so today we're going to be continuing Be'ezus Hashem the fascinating sugya of Bishul B'Shabbos, maybe the stressful sugya, one could say.
Stressful?
I think I mentioned once that I once was a Shabbos guest in a family where the father had, learned from yeshiva and proceeded to show off how he makes tea on Shabbos, which is completely wrong. I wanted to make sure that I was a yeshiva bacher, so he's going to show me, the tea here is like, this is like either Iru Kedushan, that's not how you do it. Okay.
That's what we learned yesterday.
Yes, so how not to make tea. So. I think nowadays we're egalitarian enough to take that responsibility on ourselves as well. I don't think we can blame it on the. On the women. Okay. So, when does a cliché-ni become cliché? Like, could you just keep on knocking down the level of cliché as you wish? Could it just keep on going down? That's one thing we're going to examine, and that is inextricably intertwined. In Yiddish, you say, get knipped and gebinded. It's like, it's like it goes together with putting tea scents or making tea on Shabbos. The two things go very much together, and a lot has been written. We have some choice quotes in the booklets. I try to print out a lot of them on campus, though. For those who do not have them, although I couldn't do it in full color, Ari, like the booklets have a purple and a green and blue, so that we couldn't do. Okay, so let's start. In the Mishnah of Sefer Shabbos, the Banu Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph tells us, "Ha'ilfus v'kdeira shehaviron mirusachin lo yitein l'soichon tavlin." If you have a kli that just came boiling off the fire, don't put spices in it. Avol noisim l'soich ha'ka'ora or l'soich ha'tamchli, but you could put it into the. I don't know if ka'ora is really now. It's a bowl. I don't know if that's exactly what the Chazal meant. Or a big samovar type of thing that's not from the fire. Huda Omer, Kol Noisein Chus Midaber Sheish Boi Chometz Vatzir. Okay, says the Gemara. Let's Ivarlu. Rabbi Huda Reishakai. One second. Let's leave the Ivarlu. Let's go to Sabra Rav Yosef Lemeir. Sabra Rav Yosef Lemeir. Melach Hareyu Ketav. Rav Yosef was trying to determine Halach Lemaiso. We have salt. The Mishnah mentions tavlin. Okay, the Mishnah says that you can't put tavlin into a kli rishon, a boiling kli rishon, even if it's not agave neish. And Rabbi Yosef thought melach should be the same as tavlin. The kli rishon, I didn't know how to say it. That was shela. It gets cooked, right? Misbasha, we would probably say in Hebrew. Kli sheni loy b'shela. Okay, so it depends whether it's a kli rishon or not, as the Mishnah goes. So Yosef thought to say it's the same thing with salt, just like spices. Amar le Abaye, Tani Rabbi Chiya, Melach eino ketavlin. So Rabbi Chiya says in the Braisa, right, or Yezdon Memra, that Melach is not like tavlin in that way. The kli sheni nami b'shem. So Melach is also cooked in a kli sheni. Uplig the Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman tzricha milcha bishula. Melech needs cooking, kibisru the tura, like tough ox meat that is notoriously difficult to cook. That's how much cooking melech needs. Okay? So basically, we have polar opposites, kemat, where that Rav Yosef is thinking that melech could only be cooked in a kli rishon, and it's not to be cooked in a kli sheni, but it could be cooked in a kli rishon, and we have Rav Chiya is machmir the kli sheni nami b'shela, and he argues that Rav Nachman. I'm sorry, that Rav Nachman says this is the polar opposite. So Rav Chiya goes all the way down to a kli sheni. That's how chamer it is. And the napkin goes the other way, and he says that it needs to be cooked, not like a stam food, but like a difficult to cook food like atzmi. So basically, the Gemara juggles the shittas. We have two polar opposite shittas where the salt needs to have a proper cooking that's so strong, like ox meat. Imagine it's chilling.
That's potentially more than that. Nami in the Kli Rishon, it doesn't even cook in the Kli Rishon.
It won't. It will. It takes more to cook it in the Kli Rishon than your standard food. And I think everyone, we all know, I'm pretty sure, that the scientifically salt is maybe the best chemical fit to water when it comes to dissolving, right? So salt dissolves perfectly into water. So everyone in the Gemara realizes that when we're talking about cooking salt, we're not talking about a clump of salt that's sitting in there in your pot boiling away. It almost instantaneously will dissolve into the water. And nevertheless, right, we have an opinion that says it needs to be cooked like ox meat, which is a chunk of meat in your pot. So there's obviously a very, very strong difference of opinion about the nature of salt. And we spoke about this before, but this is basically... I'm sorry?
What does cooking mean?
So that's probably the machlokes going on in the Gemara. We try to avoid, almost never do we say, I've found a few that are very hard to say differently, but we, generally speaking, we try to avoid establishing a machlekes in Metzias, and I think we mentioned in this year that the Gemara in Rishalmi talks about, there was a machlekes about rice, whether rice becomes chametz or not. And Rishalmi, according to one version, describes an experiment that the Amoraim did in order to determine whether rice becomes chametz, and they mixed rice flour together with water and left it under that proverbial towel. You know, I always wonder what determines the yichus of that towel. Like, what does it have to go through in order for the akeres habayis inside? But this is going to go over the towel. Someone gave me a present recently of an official embroidered thing that said, you know, I don't know what it said on it. It was an official thing. It was an official thing. It's almost like someone would buy a person a wedding present, you know, shmata. You know, he has an official embroidered shmata with gold tassels. This is a shmata, right? So it's a thing to cover the towel. There's got to be a towel. Anyway, but I'll call punning the Akeres Habayis
about the rice flour.
So she covers the dough.
Is it rice?
She covers the dough, and the Amorim were gathered around, and you know, maybe even they sold the moment. You know, it was officially sponsored by Google or Facebook or you know, I don't know, Gatorade, and they yank off the towel, and each one of the Amorim points and says, "Aha! You see, I'm right."
So
what do you see? Not that they were big balagaiva and unwilling to concede defeat, but rather they had different gedarim, different definitions of what chimutz is considered, as opposed to the other process known as sirachon, as spoiling. Basically, there are similar chemical processes, but the same way that not every grapes ferment very well, they taste good, but you ferment orange, it also ferments, and they use it as a cleanser because it's not much good for drinking, right? So the same is true when it comes to rice. The Amoraim Lachara were differing not about whether rice is machmetz or not. Let's prove it. They couldn't prove it because each one had a different definition of chimutz as opposed to sirachon. So, hope, you know, generally speaking, that's what we try to do as well when it comes to halacha. And then here it's going to be a little bit tough for us to figure out. So, what are the two gedarim of bishul that we might be discussing? I haven't seen a treatment of this gemara from that perspective.
Is there any opinion that's saying bishul in this case of salt is just putting salt into a pot without water? And I know that bishul is always with
meaning
water.
Dry roasting it, like without in the pot.
Is that what you mean?
You have to get the
3,000
degrees.
Bishul generally refers to the medium of heating salt. Refers to the cooking medium of water.
It's kasha, so I thought heating salt so it dissolves.
It's a rock.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rock.
Okay, so actually we're going to look at this a little bit from a different perspective, assuming the Ma'am Kemis. But let's see.
It'll caramelize, right? So I don't think that does anything.
Salt is a rock. Think
about
that. I have to melt
the
rock.
It says the Shulchan Aruch in Shidur Ches.
Can you smell the rock and cooking?
Kli Rishon Pirish HaKlisha Mishtamish Ba'ala Eish Afilu La'achar She'eru Me'ala Eish. Still, it's Mevashah, like we see from the Gemara, that you took it, the Mishnah says you took it off the fire. Kol Zman She'yad Tzeles Ba. How long does it maintain that status? As long as the water is there. So let us put the fikach usr lita in the surface of tablin.
Yep.
Therefore, you may not put spices in it. This is all right. The Mishnah of Melach mutter lita in the surface of kivin shehaviroi me'ala eish. So the first day in Shulchan Aruch says, but you can put melach into a kli rishon because you took it off the fire. The tzarech milcha bishula kibisru the tura, that's the Shulchan Aruch paskins on the first round. The yesh misha oyser losses the surface of kli zeh, basar meluach. Afilulu shall shar. Okay, we're not going to get into this so much. Venerally, the beloy muluach nami aser el the nakam. And then the yesh armu oistrum, the second to last line of yesh oistrum losses melach afilu bakli shani. And there are those who pass in like the other shita in the Gemara that we just saw, that you can't even put salt into a kli shani because mancha, yes, so that's fine. Ba machmir tavai olav bracha. Okay? And the quotes from Tosis and the Mordechai here in the Gemara.
Why can't I put the melach when the Kli Rishon's on the fire? Why does it need to be off the fire? It's not in Bashel in any case in the Kli Rishon.
Of course it's in Bashel. The question is how long the process is. When we say Tzricha Bishula Kibisru Zatura, we mean it's a tough customer. But of course you can't put it out.
When we say cooking salt, what do you mean?
Yeah. Putting it into water. Putting it into water, and that's why we explained that it's dissolved. That's why the Mechalik is a bit arcane. We're talking about salt that is dissolved in a pot of water.
So they really mean cooking the water that has salt in it, which is instead of 100 degrees, it might be 150 Celsius because.
No, but when you put meat into a boiling pot of water, so the meat has to cook for however long it has to cook, even though the water is already cooking. So you have a metzias where the salt is in a boiling pot of water. The water is bubbling. It's a rolling boil. And you've only had the salt dissolved there for a half a minute, and it's nowhere near bishul, even though you can't detect anything that's not bishul there. How many?
1473 degrees.
That's if you melt it through pure heat, but because it dissolves in water, so it instantaneously becomes liquid, even though it's not hot.
Huh?
Witness Karpas.
Yeah. When you make salt water, it's not bishul.
It's called dissolving.
It dissolves.
In English.
It'll dissolve if you stir it.
Dissolving is official. That's
not official. Stir it a little bit.
It has to be a physical change.
Right. Correct. The thing is that it's indiscernible, and the water basically has completely mixed together with the salt. That's what makes this whole sugya that much more mystifying. What exactly are we arguing? Here we couldn't even do pull off the lid of the pot, and everyone's going to say, oh, you see, it cooked, it didn't cook. You're not looking at anything.
It's interesting, this scientifically.
If you ask from Google, I can't compete.
Adding salt to water increases the boiling point.
That's what you're saying.
Of the water.
Okay, I was niggling in the back of my head when I was talking to. Where did you bring it to,
though? Oh, I
shut
it.
Okay, open it back up.
It increased slightly, but not enough to notice.
No. Okay.
Didn't we say a few weeks ago that there has to be a physical change to the item? Like we had to get salt.
We had the list of Raman and Perek Test and the Chashavas and the Mishnah Berurah and the beginning of Shinu has a long list of different things. And the Gemara seems to zig and zag between the different kulas of bishul, what's considered bishul, making something hot, softening something soft, hot, preparing something that's not ready to go, drying it out. So yes, that still remains a big sugya. Let's see the end of the Shulchan Aruch. V'im over, second to last line. V'nasa melech. If you were over and you put salt into the boiling pot, afilu b'kli rishon, afilu ala eish, she'avad isura, mutter hamachol dehamelech, bata al gabi hamachol. Who's that? Beis of b'shem shibolei aleket. Fascinating cooler the Shulchan Aruch ends off with. Even if a person puts salt into a kli rishon al gabei yo'esh, which everyone agrees is asur, even so, But the Eved, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's way from Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that it is mutter, and he gives a fascinating reason. Because it's batel. And of course, the big kasha is salt is such a tremendous powerhouse when it comes to tam. How could water, which is tasteless, be mevatel salt, which is the ultimate, right? Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. Something which gives taste can't be batel. Shani, here's differences in Mishnah Berurah. To have yizev is a gurin. What does that mean? We're talking about you added salt to a previously salted food. Okay? The gam mayri, the hamel shanosan akshav, the hoya, but kedei liten tam bekedeiro, zulas hamel shal esmo. There's two things. First of all, a lot of the salt that's in here, it was already cooked because it's been in here since yesterday. And the salt that you added would not have sufficiently salted the food. It's only in combination with the salt that was already there from before Shabbos. So between all that, it doesn't ask the food b'dieved. Aval, this is a tremendous ukimta. So comes out the Mishnah Berurah, we're doing an about face now. Im haya b'melach shel achshav levadai kedei liten tam, if what you put in now is enough to sufficiently salt the food, asur hamachal ad matzah Shabbos because of Maisa Shabbos. If you did it when it was actually on the fire, this is mine salt. Aval the melach shenasa mimayim shemavashlin ain lesser amachol. But now why? Because it's maybe mevushal. Okay, fine, good. So this is all by way of a preamble to the Sefer Yireyim. Sefer Yireyim, Rav Elazar Mimitz. He is the one who comes up with this Haggadah, which we would like to just examine from a couple of angles, which is called Kli Shlishi. Enter stage left, Kli Shlishi. Something the Gemara does not really discuss, and it's a tantalizingly inviting idea that you could perhaps expand the Kalim number. Maybe it's infinite. Maybe you could have, you know, a thousandth Kli. Maybe. Imagine if each one had its own sponsor, right? That would be valid. So now, let's look at the Yireyim.
Well, what's the naftamina of Mishnah Berurah? Whether you mine the salt versus got
it from getting it? Is it mevushal or not?
Mine salt.
If you boil seawater, so you're being mevushal the salt.
Right.
And even though it's a shayla, what is constant bishul, but you already are a suffix mevushal. So, like, popping it into the pot, you already did that. It was...
So it's not in the sun, it's from evaporation.
That's right. So he doesn't talk about evaporation. The two options he gives are a salt mine, which is just getting the mineral straight from the ground. Yeah. Or that you're distilling or you know, you're drying out sea salt from the salt water by way of cooking it. He doesn't talk about having those like, you know, I don't know,
salt pools.
Yeah, salt pools.
Oh. Yeah.
So they do in the Red Sea. That would be
visual. Yes, and then we need a modern day person to weigh in about the Red Sea salt. Says the Sefer Yireyim, he goes through the Malachas of Shabbos, the huge Simon Reish Ayin Dalet, and Emily says the Oifa. So let's just start with a couple of interesting lines that he has. I'm reading Perek Lagodol Ayin Dalet and Beis. Maishna the Tanya Tana Oifa, the Lehavim Mishkan. Why does it talk about Oifa is one of the Lamtes Malachas, which was not in the Mishkan baking, Veshavik Mevashel, the half of the Mishkan. And it leaves Bishel, which was in the Mishkan. With Atzinon, we answer this as the Yireyim, Sidura the Pas Naka, that the Tana bumped off the primary, what should be the primary Av, which is Bishel, and replaced it with Oifa because the mnemonic that the Mishnah is using, if you look at the Mishnah, it goes through the 11 steps one needs in order to make bread. And since the final act of making bread is baking it, so we replace Bishul with Afiyah in order to fit the process of Zareya and Chayresh and Kaitzer and all the other malachas that go with bread. So we see from here that they come really in reality one Av. Okay. Now let's just move down a little bit. He says, talks about Bishul B'chama, Bishul Tolos Chama, or Tolos Or. So he says in the fifth line. Ve'ein bishul tali loy v'kli rishon. That's kaf resh there. V'loy v'kli sheni. Ach lefi shehu davar hamizbashel pa'amim shehu davar rach u'mizbashel af v'kli sheni. V'yesh davar kasha shafilu v'kli rishon ein mizbashel. He says that although kli rishon and sheni are mentioned in the Gemara, that's not, the buck is not stopping at what number kli it is. It's almost like the Rambam is struggling to upend everything we've learned on now. Tosis is struggling to figure out why is kli sheni fundamentally different than kli rishon, and he suggests that perhaps because the walls of the kli rishon are maintaining the heat, and so you're taking water into two different kalim. One is going to be draining the water of its temperature, and the kli rishon is going to be maintaining the temperature of the water. But says the Rambam, the final analysis, you can't just tag it and say kli rishon, kli sheni, because it depends on a couple of things. One of them is, what is it? What food is it? So there's some things that even in a kli rishon and mizbashel, like bisur de tura, it's not a classic bishul, it's a more intense bishul. And then davar mizbashel with kli rishon, some things that are not even a kli rishon, yesh davar mizbashel with kli rishon v'lo kli sheni, k'tamim perakira, sabra v'yis levim ar melach k'tavlin, the kli rishon b'sheila, the kli sheni lo b'sheila, right? And he quotes the rest of the Gemara. Ve'ika de Amri, in the fourth to last line, Sabra of Yosef, Melach Arehu Ketavlin, it's like Tavlin. The Bekli Risha Nami Lo B'Sheila, Vahayin Dabra of Nachman, Tzricha Milcha B'Shula Kibisa the Tura. Shaloi Kalad, and he's just quoting the Gemara by way of example for this, Shaloi Kalad Varim Shavin L'Melach, Ika de Amri, Ubisa the Tura, Bekli Risha, La Bishal, the Fisha Rishon, B'Shula, I can see the Rambam inside of here, it's not inside. The Mr. Tura of a Kli Rishon, Lav Bishul. So there is a tzad that Melech cannot be made up in a Kli Rishon. The Fisher Rishon Bishula. Hilkach Yizoher Adam Shaloi Lahachnes B'Shabbos. Because the Rambam is putting up the white flag and saying, we don't really get the ins and outs of what is cooked in a Kli Rishon and what is cooked in a Kli Sheni. We don't know. Yizar Adam Shaloi Lahachnes B'Shabbos Shum Davar Kli Sheni. Va'af b'kli shlishi shehayat zelespay she'ein anu b'kin b'davar rakim b'kashim mihu mizbashal b'kli sheni u'mihu she'ein mizbashal v'amir perak al basar eizu bishal kol she'achirim oichon osoy machmas b'shuloi. He throws in for good luck Gemara kol basar and chulin, which talks about another gather of bishal. As long as it gets to a place where people are going to eat it, that's called bishal. We don't have that Hagdara in the Gemara and Shabbos. Basically, he puts up the white flag and says, we don't know. And because we have especially the Gemara and Chulin that says, and it really is in harmony with the Gemara and Shabbos. The Gemara and Shabbos says that you have the salted fish that you can't put in even in warm water. In a clean, why? Because that's the Gemara HaChanosai. And the Rishonim talk about it. Is that fishel? Is that maybe makav patish? The point is that if you finish off the preparation of the food, it could have a different category, different rules in terms of salted food that's like salted fish, that is most of the way toward being prepared, and other foods like thicker and heavier foods. And it comes along the Iranian, he basically says, we have to be machmer.
Even a klishlishi.
Yeah. So he mentioned the word kli shishi. Now notice he mentions the word kli shishi, the chumra, the kula. So the question is he really even identifying kli shishi as a thing? So the way the Urim, who's maybe the primary source for the concept of kli shishi, he's not really saying that kli shishi is getting you anywhere. He's saying even a kli shishi is not going to help you, but is he saying that's because we don't understand any food and it won't help because we just still don't know? Or is he maybe saying that the amount of kelim it's in is not really helping you and maybe it's not even changing the halachic category?
Well, yeah, it's a caveat.
As long as Yad Saleh is
though, it doesn't matter. Because our principle is that if it's not Yad Saleh is though, then it's not Mavash.
Right.
That we know. Even a Kli Rishon. That's not on the fire. It's not Yassel, but it's not Mavash.
But that's the other side.
not, if it is Yad Soler Esbo, no matter how many clear
Kalim.
That's where he seems to go. But not that he's denying the concept of Klimishon and Klisheni. Rather, he's saying that the exceptions that the Gemara gives on either side of the aisle are not clear to us. So we don't have a way to formulate what you could and can't put in. And that we saw in the Chazanish already. The Chazanish says sometimes we do have things that we actually could for sure answer because we see, talks about an egg. An egg you can cook even in a cliche. So he says that the rule of the Gemara will not apply to an egg. You wouldn't have automatically assumed that an egg is Kali Abishal, but we see that you could take a cliche that has hot water in it, put an egg in there for a while, and it becomes a hardball down.
Yes, it will.
So therefore, and if that's what we call cooking, so it happens.
Edible.
So now.
Edible, soft or dead?
Poached egg.
So now, in the Shulchan Aruch, let's just read a couple of seifim over here. He codifies, and we've seen this seif, seifdal, we're going to see seifdal and seifhei now. He throws in at the end, the Ramah puts in at the end of seif dalid, that which we say, that it's possible to have certain foods which get cooked extremely fast, like we had kulyos or esponim, right? It's a salted fish that it could get cooked very, very quickly, even in a minimal cooking condition. That's the second to last line. Here says in Ramah, Haga, v'hu adin, kol davar kasha, she'ina roi lechol klal, b'loi shiriyo. The asl l'shvoshah b'shabes, to have gemar malacha. So he just throws in, this is something that's important to note, some Rishonim explain, it's not really a full bishul issue. When we say, Hadachasa vi gemar malachtan, maybe we mean another malach. We don't mean bishul. Maybe makabapadish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have food that's imperfect. It's not fully edible. You can't define what you're doing by putting it in warm water in a clean ravi as bishul. So some Rishonim and Paiskim explain, Primogadon talks about this, that maybe it's not really malach mevashal. Maybe it's makabapadish, like you're perfecting something else.
Takes it over the top.
Yeah.
What?
Final blow.
Yeah. So the final.
I thought it was a kli also.
Oh. But it's called Gemar Malachta. So you're bringing up a whole other area of Malacha, and we're going to have to talk about Makab Patish, Tikkun Mona, when we get to it, Be'ez Hashem. So now I'm sidestepping a question because it's not a Suga. And okay, so let's go to Sifhei. Yesh Misha Oimer, we're now at the second page over here. It doesn't say page 2. All right, what happened?
Page number.
The hay is at the bottom,
and the
beginning of the title. There you go. Yesh Misha Oimer, the Dover Shenefa, Nitzla, in Bishle Achakach, Mashke, Yeshwa Mishum Bishle. Okay, so if you roasted or baked it, and then you add the liquid medium, so you have Bishle Acharafia, or Acharatzlia, Va'asa Litin Pass. I feel a kli sheni shayat, so that is right. V'yesh matir, and Chazanish points out this fascinating contradictory relationship that on one hand, the fact that it's prepared, it's baked, according to many Rishonim say that it's mutter to put because when you say ein bishul acharafia, but at the same time, the fact that it was baked can make it like the salted fish, that it's closer to getting mevushal. Why? Because the baking did something. And the aspect that you were adding of bishul could even be in a cliche against the rules for uncooked foods because it's, although it's not cooked at all, but it's baked.
But why doesn't he say
okay, so listen, you have to realize he's coming hard on the heels of Sifdal. Okay. V'yesh mekilin, afilu b'kli rishon. And there are those who say even in kli rishon put in those croutons, those
croutons
are good. The chala. The pass. I feel a bit cliche. Called Mancha, yes, the lettuce boy, like the first sheet that brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so now let's go and just look at the first line. There's a big Mishabur over here. So called Lama Test. I want to learn the first line with you and then go to a few more Mamakarmas and then come back to the tea party. Okay, so first we're going to try to examine the rest of the Sugya of Klishlishi. And then from the Klishlishi, we're going to jump into the teapot and see where we can go. Determining how to make tea. Does that make sense? Fine. The Asr Lishroi said, that filu b'kli sheni, that even in a kli sheni, you can't
put anything baked.
Soak
anything baked.
I'm sorry?
You can't put in a cliche right. in a yatsuba.
And the actually, so this mishnah actually comes from Sif Dalid. Sif Dalid. And it says anything that is that needs to be soaked in order to eat, right? So you're talking about the Chinese noodles over there, right? So here it's a little bit different because it was a mavushal. Well, but the point, that's an example of something that doesn't actually need to be cooked and be soaked. So it's usher to do that. And then the next paragraph, I separated it. In the Mishnah Berurah, it's all one big thing. But I made it, the new paragraph is he's going to give you the blow by blow on how to make tea. Okay, so we're putting in a shout out for that. We're going to come back to that soon. So now let's look at the Mishnah Berurah though. That he has two things that we brought down over here on the next Seif, on Seif Hey, that in the end of Seif Hey, let's just look back at the very top of the page, and just let's look at the last two lines. I'm sorry?
It
says Mem Zayin. Yeah, okay, so Mem Zayin. So it says over here, Asalitim pass, afilu b'klisheni. In other words, Yesh Matirin doesn't go back according to the Ramah to the Kli Rishon. It only goes to the Kli Sheni. Everyone, according to the Ramah, agrees that you can't put pass into a Kli Rishon. V'yesh Mekilin, I feel a Kli Rishon. Right? And then, in other words, you see what the intellectual honesty of the Ramah is saying. The Mechaber never meant, the way he says it, he doesn't mean to quote a Shita that matter pass even in a Kli Rishon. But I'm telling you, that there's a sheet that says that as well. So that's why he adds v'yesh mekilin afilu b'klivishon, which the mechaber never meant to even bring. V'nagu li zaher lechatchila shelo elitein pas afilu b'klisheni kol zman shayatzel lesbo. Okay, so although there's a tremendous kula that you can even put pas into a klivishon, it's ein bishlo afarfia, but the minig is to be machmer even on a klisheni kol zman that it's yatzel lesbo. Let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says. Two very short blurbs of the Mishnah Berurah here. Sifkat Mem Zayin Afilu Klisheni Uvikli Shlishi Mitzadei Da Prima Gadin Vesifkat Lamed Hey Lehakel.
We learned that Prima Gadin.
Okay, the Prima Gadin on the Magen Avraham Sifkat Lamed Hey is Mitzadei to be Mekel by a Kli Shlishi, where we have a Chumra that even in the Kli Sheni Sheyatz Letus, but we don't put Dover Anefa because we are Choshesh that Yesh Bishul Achar Afil. Okay, so that's number one. Why do we bring this whole thing? Really just to show the Mishnah Berurah quoting the idea of Kli Shlishi. And let's look at the next Dibur over here. What determines a Kli Shlishi that's dangerous? Calls man she'asa this boy. Ayin b'chai adam she'kosav te'hecha she'ayad nichves boy l'kuli alma mevashal afilu b'shlisheni. So when you have, Chai Adam came up with this formulation called your hand gets burnt, and your hand gets burnt, all bets are off. Meaning that the whole delineation that the Gemara has between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni is not going to be relevant when the temperature is so high so as to actually burn, cause a person to burn. That's going to be, and what does it remind you of a little bit? A little bit, it reminds you of the Urim. The Urim said, let's not look at the numbers over here so much, let's look at the reality. So the Chai Adam maybe is holding on to the Urim, and he's saying, you know what? To me, it seems that even if I'm going to accept this idea that you go down, you downgrade, but if it maintains a tremendously high temperature, it could burn somebody, so we don't have a dispensation. The Gemara never meant to say that you have this rolling boil in the Kli Sheni, no problem. That's not what the Gemara meant to say. Adkan, the Chumra of the Chai Adam. We're going to see the Chazon Ish says straight up, this is a Chumra Yaseir, the Mishnah Berurah also seems to say this, even though it makes sense, yeah. But the Maaseh is not really a source for it. Okay, so now what happens over here? That we have the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Prima Gadim, and he claims that the Prima Gadim says that there's a game changer called Kli Shishi, that even if it's Yatzel Lesbo, it seems, because it's not Yatzel Lesbo, it's nothing. So Yatzel Lesbo, Kli Shishi is able to create Heterim that a Kli Sheni could not. Oh. So now,
but he doesn't say what. But he doesn't say how.
Yad nechias bo.
Because if yad zol is bo,
what's that? Yad nechias bo is higher.
Yad nechias bo means it actually gets burnt. That's higher.
And Yeah, so lettuce bowl wouldn't get burnt? What?
Yeah. Yes, lettuce bowl means that you pull your hand away from it.
But it won't get burnt if you kept it in.
Right.
Huh. Right. Well, it would if you kept it.
Right. So that's so. Right. So
but
yeah, nifles. It sounds like more immediate. What means
more
that,
immediate.
That
I don't think it's more.
That water gets poured on your hand, or you immerse your hand even without leaving it there for 10 minutes. Right. You're gonna get burned.
You're gonna get burned.
That happens with water that's super boiling. Right. Person puts his hand into that water, he's gonna get burned. Okay. So now.
Okay.
Ramosha as well, I want to come back to when we talk about tea, but Ramosha well, as well in Igros Ramosha over here where he talks about how to make tea, right? This is coming after the Mishnah Berurah also talks about it.
No.
See, he also adopts this idea that the Mishnah Berurah brought from the Prima Gadim that when you have a Kli Shlishi, there's room to be Meka. Now, I just want to point out before we get to the Chazanish, I want to point out that we do have some source for this. Where is that? So the Magen Avraham. One second, let me just make sure that the Magen Avraham. Where is it? I quoted it later on.
We spoke about that in H3. Some of the Rabbanim.
Yes. So the Magen Avraham. It says Shulchan Aruch Arachayim Ochel Shabbos Simin Shinin Aleph Shinin Ches Sifyut Aleph. It talks about what happens when you have a very hot bath. You see where that is? Mm. It's after a little bit of a gap. Ambati. Right, nowadays we just use that word for Ivrit, but it comes from the Gemara. It talks about an Ambati or Ambatia. Shalmerchat. Shehi Malaya Mayim Chamim. It's full of hot water. Afapi Shehi Kli Sheni. We add in the parentheses. Okay, that's from Rishonim. You can't put in cold water in there because it will be able to heat them up a lot. You may pour water from this hot bath, but when you're ma'aret from this into another one, that's okay. Says the Magen Avraham on the spot. You're allowed to pour from a Kli Rishon into cold water. Because we assume that the bottom, meaning that the Kli you're pouring into with the cold water is going to be victorious and overpower the hot water that's coming in. And it will cool it off. That's already the Torah's rationale. Even though we already said you can't pour like we said in Sif Yud, we just said it before. The having a Kli Rishon, so here also should be like Kli Rishon. No. Hachashani, the Gemara Gavram is struggling to be Miyashiv, not struggling, he's being Miyashiv, Sif Yud Alpha, Sif Yud. Why can you not do Iru Kli Rishon on Tavlin? Because we assume that Yilo Gavar is going to cook it, but yet you could do it on water. Hachashani, Shemis Arvin, Achamim, Metzainim, Umisbat Achamim Musan. The spices in the Kli Sheni do not have the power to neutralize the heat of the Kli Rishon that's being poured into it. However, when you have water, cold water in a Kli Sheni, they do have the power to neutralize it. Kivan Shat Sadin and Merubin. So he makes a new kiptus. It comes out of the fetus, you have a little water in the second Kli. It's a problem.
Yeah,
okay. Fine. Now, on this Magen Avraham comes the Prima Gadim. That's the next Maran Malkus, right? Prima Gadim is a super commentary on the Taz and the Magen Avraham. So the commentary on the Taz is called Mishbitzoy Zahav, named after the Turi Zahav of the Taz. And on the Magen Avraham, it's called Eshel Avraham. So now, he throws in the middle. V'im Yesh L'chalek. In this question over here, when you have a Kli Rishon being poured into a Kli Sheni, what about the next level of Kli Sheni to a Kli Shlishi? Okay? V'im Yesh L'chalek bin Kli Sheni to Kli Shlishi, Ayin Beis Yosef, Amud Tav Yud Aleph, V'chulei, U'Beis Bayis Chodosh, Kos of the Ein L'chalek. Look at the Beis Yosef, and the Bach, on the same place in the Torah, he says you can't be M'chalek. I feel Kli review Kli Sheni Chashev. And even a fourth Kli goes right back to be like a Kli Sheni. Okay? So now, so the basis, Yosef already is confronting this issue. Do you have anything to gain by a kli shlishi as opposed to kli sheni? And says the Prima Gadol, but if you look in the Bach, it does not seem to be that way. So now, before we get to our final two acts over here in the sugya, I think we made a copy of the Torah, if I'm not mistaken. So in the copy, there's three copy pages over here, two Am Mordechai pages, and we have the Torah in Simin Shini Lachas that we're learning now. Oh, says the Beis Yosef the following. It's on the left column here, the left page rather, in the right hand column.
What page?
It looks like this.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
I saw that page. Yep.
Looks like this. Okay.
Okay.
So here.
Last page. The tour.
So he first the Beis Yosef says, I'm not going to re-quote it because the Magen Avraham already said the Etzem Svara, that the water mixes with each other and that's why it has a different din, because it's actually able to cook the water that is it's being poured into. On one hand, on the other hand, if it's not so much, then it's if the water in the bottom is more, say, it overpowers the Eruv from the Kli Rishon. Let's look at the first wide line in the Beis Yosef. It's the middle of that line, says Vay. Vayni Shleimah the Sfira Leiter Rabbeinu, that the Torah holds the Kivan Dambati the Brisa Havi Kli Sheni. Since the bath of the Brisa, they don't have a fire underneath that's heating it up. Rather, it you empty out these huge pots into the pool, into that ambati, into that bath. So since that itself is a Kli Sheni, Im Kain, you see what that is? The last word in the line is Im Kain. It's an abbreviation. Im Kain Seifel. The shari be gemara have a kli shlishi. That which the gemara is being matted from pouring that into a sefer, that is already a kli shlishi. Rav Yosef have a sefer the mixer kli shlishi atu kli sheni. But Hadre Abaye, that him and Rav Yosef are arguing about this. We talk about Rukhiya, but Kivan from where Rukhiya says in Mamash this sugya of that we just saw. Kivan shabir Rabbeinu kasa afilu kli sheni suleka lemiti b'sefer the nakat the hapshita the leasar ela b'kli sheni. But not kli shlishi, because that's not mevashal. Mishum hachi le'dak v'tani seifa b'makam ambati. Whoa. So we just said now that the Beis Yosef actually says something about differentiating between kli sheni and shlishi. So whoever wants to say there's no difference between the two has to contend with a possible teretz of the Beis Yosef to this difficult tour. If you look, however, in the Bach, the Kasav Oid, that is in the left column over here on page Tafid Aleph, it's the fifth wide line in the middle. The Kasav Oid Beis Yosef, Vayishloimar, the Rabbeinu Mefarish, the Seifel, the Matab Gemara, who Kli Shlishi, that the Gemara is actually making a reference to Kli Shlishi in being matter to put water in. Vahu vavadai lesa, says the Bach, ain't no such thing. The imkain my makshav gemara ulamai the salak adaita meikara the sefer hariru kambatya of amar of Nachman alach rav shimon ben Manasseh v'chulei my kushya leimu the ikar ruchitza b'kli revi el v'akorchat den chilek ben kli sheni l'shlishi urevi the akol din kli sheni yesh lohem. So the Bach comes out he comes out slugging, and he says, with all due respect to the Mechaber, I disagree. Once you hit Kli Sheni, there's no fundamental difference. You can look at that. So let us boy, you can lad nichbas boy, you can look at whether Eloi Gover, Tatai Gover, is a Kali Bishul, not Kali Bishul, but to say that we just keep on pouring from one teak to the next and taking down the level of Bishul, no such din. Oh. So now, in order to show, but it says cliche. So I just want to learn with you a seemingly unrelated topic, which comes right back into what the Rav, Zichron Livracha, had to say about this sugya. So let's see, the Rav and the Chazon Ish. If you look over here on page, the end of, I think it's page 2 of the printouts, it says in the very bottom, Pirush Hamilas Maaser Sheni. Does everyone see that?
Yeah.
Where?
End of two. Bottom page 2.
Page 2 of this page.
Okay. What does Maaser Sheni mean? So first, without looking inside, does anyone tell me what Maaser Sheni is?
Yeah,
what's the Pirush Lime?
You have to eat their...
Take that Maaser, that tenth, the second tenth. Maaser Rishon goes to the Levi, Maaser Sheni goes to Yerushalayim.
Right.
Oh. So now, what does Maaser Sheni mean? So this is something that I wrote a couple of years ago. Hine b'sheshes ha-shonim shalefnei ha-shnas ha-shmita. The 6 years before Shemitah, yesh b'kol shona v'shona shnei chiyuv b'maaser al ha-tzvur. What are those chiyuvim? Maaser Rishon. What's that? Nitan the Levi. And then the Levi can do whatever he wants with it, but there's a din. Now, Levi chayav lahafresh minu maser min maser, shenikra b'fi chazal, trumas maser.
Yeah.
Right? Another tenth off that. Ki kedushasa kama kedushas truma gedoyla. It's a similar kedusha to truma gedoyla. Shenitanas lakayin, that is given to the kayin here too, it has all the dinim of Tara and Kahuna. Va'achre shahofresh min maser rishon, trumas maser, shuv, ein b'maser rishon shum kedusha. Then the Maaser Rishon, although it goes to a Levi, that's just mominous, anyone can eat Maaser Rishon. Okay? That's Maaser Rishon. Then we have another category called Maaser Sheni. What does that mean? Maaser Sheni or Maaser Ani. What does that mean? Hapirush, Shemaaser Sheni, hu b'kol shana. Really, contrary to popular wisdom, we say Maaser Sheni is really what?
One, two,
is
four,
one, two, four, five? Not true. Really, Maaser Sheni is every year. In the first, second, fourth, and fifth years, what do you do with it? Hula Yerushalayim. And the third and sixth year, Hula Aniyim. V'kulam nikra'im what? Maaser Sheni. Pirish, Acharei Maaser Rishon, Shehula Levi, Maaser Sheni is the next Maaser, and it has two rotating dinim. The, what we usually call Maaser Sheni, quote unquote, is what? Is going to Yerushalayim. But what we call Maaser Ani is really no less Maaser Sheni. It's the second string.
Just goes to a different person.
And the third and sixth year has different... Where did I get that from? It's a Beferish Rashi. So I was talking to my father about this yesterday. He said, send me that Rashi. Where's the Rashi? Right here. Rashi Parshas for A. We call it Rashi Parshas for A. Dichsiv. Uba ha-levi v'agere v'yosem v'almanar. Right? V'achlu v'sharecha v'saveyu. Says Rashi. Uba ha-levi v'yitol Maaser Rishon. V'agere v'yosem. V'yitlu what? Maaser Sheni. The Ger and Yosem are the Aniyim. That's classic Maaser Ani. Says Rashi, V'yitlu Maaser Sheni, Shehu Shel Ani, Shel Shonazu. That year, meaning the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, Maaser Sheni goes to an Ani. So Rashi is saying something that for most of us is a paradigm shift. There's no such thing as Maaser Sheni separate from Maaser Ani. Maaser Sheni is a general category, which means either the Maaser you take to Yerushalayim, maybe if it would have been lucky, Chazal would have called it Maaser Yerushalayim, and Maaser Ani. But Maaser Sheni is not a specific thing that describes going to Yerushalayim and eating it. It's just the second Maaser, which most of the years in the Shemitah cycle goes to Yerushalayim. That is the way Rashi formulates it in Parshas Re. However, there's another Rashi. Ulam b'Parshas Kisavot. Right? Ray, Shoytim, Kisesa, Kisesa, four parashiyas later. What does he do there? Cuts of Rashi, Loikin, Rashi says differently. What does the Pasuk there say? Kistichal ala aser as kol maser to us, lobashnasa, rashona, shlishas nasa maser, venasat ala levi, la gerva, la yasa, la mona, welcome, bisharacha, vasaveyu. Okay? When you finish that cycle of maser to usla, on the third year, which is called shnasa maser, make sure you get give it all to who it's supposed to go to. Okay? Fine. Says Rashi, Shnasa Maser, Shona She'ein Noeg Bo Elo Maser Echad Mishnei Masers, Shenogu B'Shnei Shonim Shalafonel. What does that mean? She Shona Rishona Shal Shmita Noeg Bo Maser Rishon. Kama Shenemar Kisichu Me'eis B'nei Yisrael Asa Maser. O Maser Sheini, and also Noeg Maser Sheini, Shenemar Ve'ochat Lofnei Hashem Lekecha, Maser Degon Chati Yoshua Yitzarecha, Hare Shnei Masers, Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni, Uba Vili Melchot Kan, that in B'Shona Shlishis, And by the way, how do we know the sixth year? It never says it. How do we know the 6 years also? Because we count in groups of three. So, right, so the sixth year is also a third year.
Right.
That's how we know the sixth year. So not Shlishis. Every third year in the Shemitah cycle, it's not the third year, but every third year. So it goes 1, 2, 3, and then 1, 2, 3, and then Shemitah. Okay? So now, so the third and sixth are both Shana Shlishis. So what do you do then? What do you do then? Let's get Rashi. She'ei noyeg. Where did I screw?
Yeah, that's the maser.
Ah, she'ei noyeg oisin shnei maisers elo echad ve'eze ze maser rishon ve'tachas maser sheni, which is not noyeg in what? In the third and sixth year, tein maser ani she'nemar v'nasat el alevi es asher loy. So it's not mamish muchach from what Rashi says over here, but it seems that the way Rashi says is that Maaser Sheni is its own category. It has 4 years in the Shemitah cycle where you do it 1, 2, 4, and 5, and then when you get to 3 and 6, it's not noyeg. Rather, you have something else coming in from the wings, which is Maaser Ani, and that's what you do. It's possible to say that this is more semantics, but I really feel that the first Rashi resonates very strongly over here. That Maaser Sheni is a number.
Yeah.
It's not its own din. Okay, so although the second Rashi over here in Parshas Kisavi maybe doesn't say like that, why am I saying all of this? It's all a mashal. What's it a mashal for? Klisheni. What does Klisheni mean? Is it a number? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it just means not a Klisheni. And no one else gets tagged. And if Klisheni means not a Kli Rishon, mm-hmm. So then don't say Dafka the second one, but the third one is different. What? The Bach. The Bach would say that a Klisheni means not a Kli Rishon, and anything past that is not going to significantly change in one way or the other the cooking potential of that Kli. So you don't help by just pouring it over and over and over and over. Obviously you can cool it down till it's less hot. It can go from the Chai Adam Ziyad Nichvas Boy when it's straight out of the urn. And even the second, I think, you pour it even two or three times, you come straight from the urn, it's still Yad Nechut for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You put your hand in there for a few seconds, it'll burn. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Maybe my daughter Shuli, she could put her hand in there, but most people can't, right? So now, so says the Bach, it doesn't really mean Klisheni, it just means not a Klivishen. Oh. And however, the Beis Yosef is willing to entertain this thought. He makes the Chilik himself based on the Gemara. And the Prima Gadim quotes that as well. He says, look at the Beis Yosef and the Bach. And that's what the Prima Gadim actually brings this chiluk. And the Mishnah Brura seems to go with it. We're going to see Rav Moshe soon. But let's just go back now. Now that we've seen the source, and we have a cousin of this, in the Gabi, the terminology for Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani, that maybe also evokes this idea. Let's look to see. We already saw the Mishnah Brura, v'chulei. Where's that Chazanish? Yeah, here's the Chazanish. It's the end of the third page over here of the printouts. Let's see the Chazanish. V'loy matzinu. You see what this is?
Mm-hmm.
It's really. It's the end of the second page here, and it's actually directly before what I just read you.
Yeah, got me for the habit.
Chazanish Or Chaim. So it says v'loy matzinu mekar lachalek bein sheni l'shlishi ve'im devarim misbashlim b'sheni. So that you already know misbashlim b'shlishi. This is sounding very much like a Yerayim that I know. And also the Chai Adam that says that even the kul of a Kli Sheni as opposed to a Kli Rishon is going to be challenged and compromised if it's so hot that it's Yad Nichvis. So he says that even the Chai Adam that talks about Yad Nichvis, which is maybe a little bit of a separate category, he wouldn't say, oh, it's a Kli Shlishi, so that's a mitigating factor. No, he would answer it even there. Umiyu, however, says the Chazanish, Kivon she'eino ela chumra. V'masha noagu, noagu. Since often we're talking about a chumra, let's say the mashal, the Chai Adam is a tremendous chumra, that when it's Yad Nichvis, the Klisheni identity doesn't mitigate the vishal. It's almost like a kli rishon. That's a tremendous comment from the Chai Adam. Says the Chazon Ish, once we're talking about the Chai Adam, nu. So you pour it into a kli shlishi, even though there's no makar, but we're already, Chai Yisrael is already noyheg to be mako, to not to be machmer for the Chai Adam very often. And therefore, if you have a factor called kli shlishi, so even though the Chazon Ish is between me and you, I don't believe it. Even though the Beis Yosef says it, and the Prim Gadim, and the Mishnah Berurah. But Lamaisa, when you're dealing with the Chumrah of the Chai Adam, you can be Makel because of the Kli Shlishi. Miu Kiva She'ena El Chumrah, Masha Nagu Nagu, Vala Roiv, but mostly, Ein Kli Shlishi Yad Saleres Bar L'Chein Ekilu. Says the Chazon Ish, but practically speaking, there's tremendous room to be Makel by Kli Shlishi. Why? Because of the fact that it often compromises the actual temperature, and then it will dip below Yatzalaris, but and then the Kli Shlishi is significant, not because it's the next Kli, but because it caused the temperature to actually go down enough in reality. And my father always used to like to quote the Rav Mamish like this, that he would say, Kli Shlishi is not a count. It's not a count. That now that I'm at the second one, all I need to do is the third one, and then I'm fine. Okay, so basically, you could stack up the poskim and the achronim. You have the Beis Yosef on one side, and the Chazon Ish is very strong about it. There's no source. Beis Yosef is a source. No, there's no source. Says the Chazon Ish, and so went the Bach, and so Rabbi Soloveitchik held. And then on the other hand, you have the Mishnah Berurah quoting the Prima Gadim, quoting the Beis Yosef, that Kli Shlishi helps. So the emes is that Kli Shlishi is, according to Rav Moshe, is cut and dry. It's a yes. Lifesaver. Yeah. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's a tremendous cooler. Now, according to other achronim, you combine it. Chazon Ish, you combine it with other things, and you can make something out of it. But Rav Moshe has this clutch cooler. That's what Rav Simcha asked me about the soups. And the Kli Shlishi, I said, listen, Rav Moshe, Mama says you're free and clear. And
Kli Shlishi.
Yes, yes. It, yeah, nichvis. So then. There should be room to be machmir, but the Chazon Ish says no. Even the Chazon Ish doesn't like Kli Shlishi, but he says when you get to Yad Nichbaz, that's a sevel chumrah. So, well, yeah, but I'm sorry?
Can our kids sing the song or not sing the song?
Yes,
you have to ask Rabbi Willick Sr. has been singing this for the past couple of weeks. I keep on hearing him sing this song.
So sing the song? Ain't no Bishon Kli
Shlishi? Yes, but the question is, does he agree? Rabbi Soloveitchik would not only correct the grammar, but you would also correct the halach. And he said, there is, I know, you couldn't say there is too, Rav Bishlan.
There truly is.
There truly is, right? Sidach Mis. Yeah, fine. Okay, very good. Good. So basically, that is the sugya of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. And no one asked me to do this, but I think it's so resonant from the Urayim. The Urayim is really talking about. We don't know the foods, and also the whole delineation between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni should be so connected with the actual temperature that we can't even use this as an effective tool to be matter bishul, just because of the Kli Sheni. And effectively speaking, that's really what the Bach is saying and what the Chazon Ish is saying, that one down from a Kli Sheni, which we could use. Kli Sheni ain't a mavashel, except when you know for sure it does, like an egg. But when it doesn't, be makel. But when you're knocking that down to a Kli Shlishi, wherever you're going to be machmer by a Kli Sheni for whatever reason, you're not going to be able to be makel just because you put it into another Kli, unless you see that it's actually losing the temperature and losing the Yat Selesma. Okay. Now I see the Kedar Kena, we're pushing the limits of here. So the question is, should we wait for next week? Because basically it's like this. The Mishnah Berurah and Rav Moshe both give you blow by blow how to make tea. Yeah. It's also very fascinating and entertaining just to
also
read.
It's complicated.
What?
Father said it's complicated, I think.
We learned yesterday, remember how complicated
okay.
It was.
So maybe we'll leave it 1 second.
Yeah.
But also well, it's not tea. Just this, it's the Yesod that my father brings out. Yeah, we have Amorachet to learn everything. So we're going to. The good news is that we're going to have more to learn next week. We haven't finished all of the yet. And just to give you the blurb over here is a very interesting kula of the Ramah where he says that that by the case of Hazara, that when something is loin stanan legamre, it's cooled off past the atzeles, but it hasn't totally cooled off, right. So you can be maker to put reheat a liquid as long as it's warm. And the question is, where in the world the Ramah came from? It doesn't say anywhere before. It's a compromise he's making between the two shittas. Is it bishul ach bishul by double ach or not? And he says, we're knowing that as long as it's not totally cooled off. The question is, who gave cred to a sub yatsa lettuce by right. demarcation point and said, oh, that's where the cutoff point is? Like, who said that? And most notably, we're going to focus on what the Rav Shulchan Aruch says. What's the svara behind it? Let's even say you could say, no, there is room for this in La Halacha. Why? What is nitzdan legamri versus lenitzdan legamri mean when, oh, now I can be makeup to put it into a, to put it into a kli rishon or a kli sheni, depending on the situation, and to heat it up because it wasn't totally not heated before. What changed or didn't change based on the fact that it was nitzdan legamri or not? So Rav Shulchan will continue with that next week, and let's make it our cup of tea, please.
Okay, so also the tea itself is not considered. It's like a.
So if you don't mind, please, just I'm going to ask you. Like we want to put these together. If you could just make the first page of your stack, even if it's not totally.
Yeah, we'll
the
do
first
it
page of your stack should be this one.
Yeah.
Okay, that has a title on it.
Yeah.
So that way we'll know where.
Should we leave them up
ends.
There?
Yeah, well, Ari will put it higher up than anyone else can reach.
Your father said like something to do with the tea itself is not considered. It's like a. It's not Tomlin, maybe, or it's not, maybe it's a mixture, or it's not.
Oh, that's.